Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast.
Hey, what's up?
Just a couple of best friends and Clipper credentialed media folks who bring you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week.
Don't know how that happened, but I'm happy that it did.
Hey, you know, here we are. We come at you Monday through Friday, yep. 7 a.m. So thanks for tuning
in. We have a winner. Someone sent us a pic of them listening at 7:05 in the morning.
What are they getting?
They're getting a Batum Italian t-shirt.
Oh, heck yeah.
Sending it out probably on the weekend. So you got a couple days to wait, but it'll be there.
Love it. Anyways, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with a game preview. It's Clippers, Mavs. Stop me if you've heard this one before, because it happened just the other day.
Oh, yeah.
But we're going to talk about what we need to do well to win that game, as well as what could go wrong. Dig into a couple of key matchups for that one. And then, it's What You Say Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
Every single Tuesday, poll goes out on Twitter. That's at Locked On Clips. This one is just kind of gauging how everyone out there feels if the Clippers are not to make a trade move before the deadline.
Yeah, there's going to be 8 days until the trade deadline by the time you're listening to this. And I personally am getting a little antsy. It's a new feeling, but it's weird.
This was a pretty contentious poll. I'm excited to dig
yeah,
in.
Yeah,
to
the, two of the choices were close.
To the thoughts of the viewers. And then in shavings, if we have some more trade talk stuff, we'll talk about that. Marcus Morris also wants to know how to be an average golf player. Oh, buddy.
I have some more.
Hope you're tuning
you.
Into this podcast. So all that and more coming up right about now. But first, gotta let you know, today's episode was brought to you by CBDMD.com.
We love it.
CBDMD.com makes it even easier to relax, regroup, and recharge. They're offering all our listeners 25% off your next order when you use promo code NBA at checkout.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Clippers vs. Mavs Part 2. This would be the first time I believe we would beat a team in one of these two game series, right? If we get the win against the Mavs?
Yes. It's not an easy
task. Serge is questionable for this game. Bev obviously out. He didn't travel with the team. Let's just start Zoo again.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
Even if Serge is good to go, let's work him back.
We've got a note that we'll talk about and what we need to do well, but are we maybe a little better off with Serge out of the lineup and Zoo in the starting lineup? Once again, I'm thinking defense is going to be the name of the game in the last one.
Dude, Zoo was guarding Tim Hardaway Jr. at some points and Luka.
He had such a solid performance. We're going to need him to do it again. I have nothing to nitpick from that last performance. But the thing is, with this matchup in particular, I'm not saying overall the Clippers are necessarily better with Zoo over Serge, but in this one, he's, you know, the most traditional big guy on the floor.
Yeah, you don't.
Against Maxi Kleba and Kristaps.
You don't cringe when he, like, posts up. Where with Serge, it's like, dude, this is 50-50 if this is going in or not.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if he can continue to use that size against them on the offensive end, back him down, just roll hard to the rim, be strong in the post, and just continue to snag those boards, rebounding is going to be so huge in this one again.
Yeah.
We out-rebounded the Mavs 46-33 in the last one. It was such a huge part of this win. More impressively than the rebounding sheer numbers, we allowed the Mavs only 3 second chance points.
I have a feeling.
Three.
So there's some things I'm worried about in this game, and this is one of those things, but.
Yeah, so it's one of those things that could possibly help. What else do you think we need to do well to win this one?
We did a really good job at limiting their free throw attempts last game.
Yes.
Part of that was due to some questionable reffing, which we're going to talk about what could go wrong, because it's not going to be the same reffing crew. But, you know, they only attempted 5. Like, our defense looked. I mean, Kawhi's defense in and of itself was the best it's been all year.
Oh, absolutely.
In that one game. So I just hope we can limit their free throws again. That's another thing I'm a little worried about.
Yeah, yeah. So they're like a top 10 free throw attempt rate team. Around 26% of their field goal attempts end in a free throw attempt.
It seems like it was lower than that in the
6%. 6% of their field goal attempts ended in a free throw attempt. So, you know, Clippers did really solid there. Another thing we need to do well, it's just continue to get those hands in the passing lanes. The steals were incredible last game, but bigger than just, you know, filling up the box score, we just need to make them uncomfortable.
Yeah. Make them second guess stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. The Mavs take care of the ball really well. They're a top 3 team in turnover percentage.
Oof.
The They only turn the ball over like 12%. They turn the ball over, you know, greater than 15% of their possessions.
Okay.
In this last game, they had 14 turnovers on Sunday, which, you know, was huge for us.
Yeah, that's going to be something to keep an eye on. I would like to see, and this actually bleeds into kind of some of the matchups, but we got to get to the line in this one.
Yeah.
And particularly, I really want to see it out of Paul George. I want to see actual aggressive drives as opposed to drives where he's like, hey, ref, I'm looking for this contact.
I agree.
What do you got on it today?
It would be nice to see him get more calls. He did, however, in that game, still take as many free throw attempts as Luka. Paul George took one less free throw attempt than the entire Mavs team.
All right, but they also had an outlier, fewest free throw attempts probably the whole game or the whole year. But it's going to be interesting to see what could go wrong in this one.
I mean, the biggest thing is just, I think, going to be slowing down Luka.
Yeah.
So.
Which we did.
Look, I get if you look at his box score, holding on big air quotes there, Luka to 25, 10, and 16 might not sound that impressive. Okay. But it's not an easy job, especially. Yeah.
Bill Simmons would look at this box score and scoff.
The Clippers are garbage at defense. But look, it's not an easy task to slow down a guy like this. Holding him below his season average, I mean, that's a win.
Honestly, that 2 games in a row, that shows that the Clippers defense has maybe made a stride since the All-Star break, I'd even say.
Yes. And, you know, you do sacrifice some assists if you have to throw an extra look at him. It's unfortunate. It's part of the game.
And here's the thing. He scores half his points off the pick and roll.
Yes.
So if we're forcing him to dish it out, I mean, one of the reasons he got 16 assists was because a couple of the Mavs just went nuts from beyond the arc.
Yes.
So if we're forcing him to pass out of those situations, that's Ty Lue doing exactly what we're supposed to do.
It's a game of percentages, right? It's a strategy thing. So Kawhi's going to have to be on point again to slow down Luka. We'll talk about that more in the key matchups, but he and Paul George guarded Luka the most in that one. Look, Luka went 2 of 3 against Paul George. But Paul George forced him to pass a lot.
Okay, yeah.
So Paul George guarded him for something like 10 possessions. Luka only taking 3 field goal attempts in that time is lower than his normal usage rate.
Yeah.
So he is...
What is his usage rate? Like 40-something?
It's 40%.
Okay, yeah.
So it's, you know, like, look, it would be great if that number was better, you know? Mm-hmm. But like, even 1 of 3, and it's a completely different conversation. I think like the bigger takeaway is not to look at the number, but to know that he forced Luka to have
get
to
rid
pass.
Of the ball.
Yeah, to have to get rid of the ball. Morris did an okay job through like 6 possessions. Luka went 1 of 2 against him. He only had a single assist. Morris did have a shooting foul. Batum, it was a little rougher.
Yeah, Batum did not look very good against Luka, which, hey, what are you going to do?
Luka wasn't really attempting to pass as much. He was basically just kind of going at Batum. But, you know, that's
fine.
They're
going to look for that again.
Batum as a player has his limitations. You know, guarding an elite guard in the pick and roll is not really, you know, going to be his strongest suit.
Staggering from the Mavs is going to be interesting to see. If they're trying to figure out after the first quarter when they put... You know, if Batum's out there, I'd imagine that Luka would be out there.
Yeah, well,
you know
it was
what
interesting.
I mean? Like, just if the matchup is there, I guess.
It was interesting because I'm so used to Kawhi playing full first.
Yeah.
In that last game, that there was like 6 minutes left in the quarter, and I was like, and I'm like watching the game, and I'm like, why is Luka not out there?
Yeah, it's very odd. Another thing that could go wrong before we get into these key matchups is the whistle goes the other way. The refs were garbage kind of all around in the last game.
Mm-hmm.
For both teams, they were horrific. Batum got hit, like legitimately hit on a 3-point attempt and there was no call. Like his arm went back, like there was contact.
Yeah.
So if the Mavs are getting called, it's going to be a lot tougher sledding. What are some key matchups we got?
All right, so the biggest one, I touched on it and what could go wrong, but Kawhi versus Luka defensively. Look.
Dude, Kawhi played, ooh, it was so fun to watch.
Kawhi played... a nearly perfect defensive game.
Yeah.
On Monday night, Luka was 0 of 3 against Kawhi, recorded only a single assist. Look, the thing I loved about this is there were times, like obviously Kawhi was communicating.
Yeah.
Great on the floor. He's been great at that, a lot better at that all season. But in this one, there were times where he was waving off the help because he didn't want Luka to get bailed out with an assist.
Yeah.
He was forcing him to take him man on man. And like, you know, it's not always going to work out, especially if you have to do that for, you know, more field goal attempts than this.
Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, just that sort of intensity, it, you know, for a Mavs team that their entire offense is predicated on one player.
One guy, yeah.
This is, you know, this is huge.
I think this last game against the Mavs was a watershed game for Kawhi in the sense that in the game before, we got our asses kicked. And Kawhi talked about how he needed to be more ready and have more consistency and have more intensity. And then he came out and did what you just said.
Which he set the tone, which I liked.
He set the tone. That's a watershed game for Kawhi's leadership. Like, yeah. If he was a more vocal superstar, a lot more people would be talking about the turnaround. Like, the Clippers just, in a back-to-back, got destroyed in the first game. And in the second game, came back and held the Mavs under 100. And Kawhi played the best defense he has all year. Like, I'm a little irked it's not getting talked about more, but it was fantastic to see.
It's got to be consistent, though. Yeah, that's the thing, for sure. Right?
Like, after, but the immediate response is so great.
I know, but that I think the immediate response is
ESPN
so great
right now.
No, it just needs to be more. It's still for like sure. We can't talk about consistency. Bounce back from a bad game with a great game, and then just be like, we got the last.
Well, that's
one.
What I'm saying. He's got to do it in this one too, for sure.
Yeah.
Clippers versus that guy on the Mavs.
Love it.
Who's it gonna be? Is it gonna be Tim Hardaway Jr. again? It might be Maxi Kleba. He shoots 46% from three on 4 attempts per game. Not a lot of attempts. He went 1 of 4 the last time we played. It might be 4 of 4 next time because it's the Clippers. We don't know what's going to happen. And then the final matchup is Paul George versus 98% of last game. We can't imagine he's going to shoot as poorly as he did from three. So I want to see him make early threes. And we already discussed it. I want to see him commit to driving to the basket. I don't want to see
him aggressive drives, yeah.
Not trying to finish the layup. Like, there's times where, like, you know when your eyes focus on the game? There's times when Paul George does a drive where my eyes don't even bring the rim into focus. Because I can tell by the body language that he's just looking for contact.
I was
and we're
say,
not going to see a real attempt at the basket.
So it's one of those
and
things.
And I love Paul George. This sounds very harsh. It's a weird way to end the segment because he hit the dagger against him. But I think Paul George is going to have a bounce back game.
I also thought he was really solid defensively. So
yes, for sure. There was a lot of good. I'm just like, this has been an issue for Clippers fans for a minute with Paul George.
One thing I wonder,
it
though,
pops that, up. I shouldn't say it's been.
One thing, though, that must be weird if you're Paul George. You know, like, you know the contact is coming. It must be hard to adjust in your mindset to keep that focus on the basket and scoring,
for sure,
even though when
like
you know
Kawhi,
the
like Reggie, like
no,
every
no, no,
other
I
player
agree,
does it.
I agree, but I'm just saying, like, on the human being level, if you think about it, your day at work, you know.
My day at work is easy. I'm just kidding.
You know, you're going for a walk at 10 a.m. every day. Your schedule's
true.
Cleared at 10.
Very true. That's a good call. What's your prediction for this game? Do we think we go 2-0 against the Mavs?
I do not, but I would love it.
Oh, okay. I think the Clippers got this one.
You think they can?
I wouldn't bet the spread, but I think the Clippers got this.
You think they can put it together back to back?
I absolutely think they can.
Love it.
Coming up, we're going to be talking what Clippers fans feel about the Clippers making a move at the trade deadline. But first, we got to give a shout out to Rock Auto. With the ever increasing number of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, like, "What are you doing here, sir?" and "Please put your shirt on," and wait while the counterman orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose from the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection. Reliably lower prices and all the parts your car would ever need. RockAuto.com.
All right, now that Rock Auto knows we sent you, we're back with What You Say Wednesday.
Oh yeah.
So we're talking about the trade deadline.
Looming.
Very looming. And the question on
this
one.
People who love wool, basketball fans, always worried about looming.
One big handshake. Yeah. So the question for this week was, how do you feel if the Clippers didn't make a trade before the deadline? Your options for answers were concerned, fine, or happy.
I'm going to be honest. These are kind of weird options.
I think they're perfect.
But I felt they encapsulated the fairness.
I think they're perfect.
We had 441 votes. The winner, which I was genuinely surprised by because we put this out on Twitter, which tends to be a little more reactionary than real life.
I know, but we are coming off a win.
But we are coming, very true. Fine won with 53%. Concerned was in second place with 42, and the happy people were just doing their own thing over with 5%. There was 441 votes, so there's like 20 people who are happy with the team right now. Where would you vote in this one?
So without caveats, right? Like,
oh, there's caveats.
If there's no caveats, if I'm thinking about where the team is right now, right? I got my blinders on.
You're staring directly at the computer.
Got my blinders on. Yeah. I'm a horse, you know?
I'm eating oats, you know.
I would lean towards concerned, but I'm also adding a caveat of my own,
you can't add bullet points in when you're in the voting booth.
There's no caveat and there is a caveat. It's both ways. They balance each other out.
This is fandom. That is fair.
So my no caveat is just looking at where we are right now. My caveat is I'm also adding the buyout market to this.
That's why I did trade specifically.
Gotcha. Because if we don't make a trade and we don't pick up somebody on the buyout market, I'm very concerned.
So that's fair. Alex Toma at Alex_Toma_13 said, I'd be concerned if we didn't at least dump Fee and pick up a couple free agents like RHJ and Glenn Arvidsson III and maybe another insurance big. We don't have enough people to do that. Just because it would show we aren't very proactive. So I think that's kind of similar to what you're saying, right? Like the buyout market is kind of what I'm looking at more. There is a Clippers trade rumor that we're going to discuss in the next segment, but the buyout market is kind of what I'm looking at more. Because as we discussed on the last episode, it's hard for the Clips to make a trade from a structural perspective.
No, agreed.
Not from a heart perspective.
Agreed. And if the Clippers are healthy, I feel absolutely fine.
Oh, the Clippers are healthy. I'm throwing happy on there. I'm joining the 21 and a half people who are in the 5% for happy.
Yeah, 100%.
Or 20 and a half people.
100%. I mean, I've said it on here before. Like, the Clippers, in my mind, have the roster that's capable of winning a championship. I believe that.
When healthy.
If healthy.
100%.
I definitely believe that. I just think with, you know, what's been happening recently, and not even just recently, it's all season, and it's last season.
It's the history of the Clippers.
I have my concerns.
Yeah.
I don't think that a trade is necessary per se, but we got to make some acquisitions for sure.
Chenny John has an interesting acquisition.
Okay.
Shout out Chenny John, by the way.
Yeah.
Hope he's doing good.
Yeah.
Appreciate the listens. We saw him at Staples that one time. That was a good time. He said the biggest acquisition they could use is additional medical staffers to make sure guys are in jerseys and not in track suits during the game.
Love.
Look, between this and the plant-based diet and going to a chiropractor once a week or whatever, I'm seeing some constructive criticism towards the Clippers medical staff, and I like it.
Yes.
I like
it. Can I say I'm terrified of chiropractors? I don't know if I fully believe in it.
Here's the issue with chiropractors.
No disrespect to any chiropractors out there. Feel free. Get at me in my mentions at Will Uptech. I'd love to know more about the science of it.
I always think of there's a really great Simpsons joke where Homer opens like a garage chiropractor and it's just a trash can that he has people stand in front of and he pushes them over and they bend and they feel great.
That's what I'm saying.
The Simpsons are the reason that I don't believe in chiropractic.
Anything that involves like back cracking.
My back cracks when I move. And yeah, I don't want someone else to crack.
It's just a little freaky to me. Even that move, you know, where like you kind of bear hug someone and give them a back crack.
I don't want to do that.
I mean, I'm never comfortable doing it.
I'm out on that. LAC till I DIE Clippers A, who won the Batum Battalion t-shirt. They voted for fine.
Okay.
They said mostly because I know the personnel when healthy is elite, but I'm not happy because of health concerns, and I wouldn't be upset if we had to pull the trigger on a trade, if that makes sense. So this is kind of how I feel. I think this encapsulates just what we were talking about. Like, we have the roster is there, but there's an availability issue.
Yes. That, I mean, isn't anything new is the thing. You know, like if this was a isolated incident, I'd feel a little bit different about
it.
But
we're an old team.
We're an old team. You know, Pat Bev has an injury history. It just is. It is what it is.
That's what old people do. They get hurt. But there is a kind of interesting Clippers trade proposition that's been floating around that we're going to talk about coming up after this. But first, We got to give a shout out to Built Bar.
Have to.
We've been telling you about Built Bar every single day for the last what feels like a decade. They're the best.
Not long enough. Tell you that.
They're the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, elite tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. And now's the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. The matchup today has mint brownie. They made it to the enticing eight. And I'm going to be honest, I think this flavor is going to run away with the whole damn thing. Carl Tart does not like it, which is one of the many things he's wrong about. But specifically this, I think mint brownie can take it all the way. I think churro could match up with it, but that's on the other side of the bracket.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to take on. It's two classic flavors melded together into one delicious bar covered in 100% chocolate.
And who doesn't love it? It's great for the keto diet, everybody. It's fantastic. If you want to vote on this, which we know you do, go to builtbar.com or go to @built_bar on Twitter. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. And check back to see who won the matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. Now, Will, talk to me about something that I know perhaps too much about.
All right. Well, we're talking about betting online.
Whoa!
And there's only one place that we trust, and it's the aptly named BetOnline. Look, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. We know football's over, but obviously the NBA is going. College basketball and the NHL are all in full swing. But BetOnline... What's that?
I said and skate.
And skate. That's true. BetOnline doesn't just cover sports, though. They also cover award shows, TV shows, reality TV. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. If you can think of it, you can bet on it.
Ooh.
BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bet, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus. That's on top of your first deposit.
That's crazy.
It is. It's a great deal. So go to BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, and use promo code LOCKEDON. And once again, you'll receive that 50% welcome bonus on top of your first deposit.
Wow. All right. Welcome to Shaving/Trade Rumors. So in a recent article for the Indianapolis Star, fantastic publication, reporter Jay Michael mentioned that several teams have apparently talked to the Pacers about Miles Turner.
Which makes sense, right?
Yes. Among them, the LA Clippers, Lakers, Knicks, Hornets, and Pelicans. So this team list, first of all, ranges from Western Conference final favorites to plucky Eastern Conference kind of weird fringe playoff teams.
Planned, yeah.
So... let's start off with, do we believe that the Clippers have interest in Miles Turner? Because with the Clippers, you have to ask, like, is this a real leak?
Look.
It's the first thing you got to talk about.
I think it's possible they picked up the phone on this. He's an exciting young prospect. He's in a situation in Indiana where, you know, they're kind of cap-wise in a weird situation.
They're just in a weird situation in general.
They have Miles Turner in, they have him in a role that isn't really optimized for his style of play.
They make him shoot a whole bunch, which...
Well, because they play two bigs. They play him and Sabonis out there.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. It's unclear to me really what the Pacers' future is. But I think right now... Given, you know, what both cap situations look like, what available free agents available trades rather look like.
Yeah.
This is looking like a pretty good time to sell.
It's interesting. So we talked about his usage. So like his 3-point attempts, 2018, 2019, they were at 3 a game and he was shooting 36% and 38%, which is good. They bumped it up to 5 attempts per game last season. He shot 34%, which is good. They're right at 5 again. He's shooting 31%. This is such an... I mean, look, the Clippers front office doesn't leak. So this didn't come from the Clippers obviously. Like, this didn't come from the Clippers people. This is interesting to think about. I'm not... So Clipper Hollick wrote a good article on this. Basically, kind of the most feasible trade is Zoo, Bev, and Fee. And I'm assuming 3 seconds or 2 seconds.
I think it might be all 4 Detroit seconds.
That's fair. If it's if one Shamit is worth a canard in 4 seconds, probably 4 seconds worth in this situation.
I think it's 4 seconds just to get the conversation going.
Yeah, to get TJ McConnell and Miles Turner. So this trade to me, like, I mean, Fee's obviously kind of jettisoned in this trade.
And you still got to pick up to roster 14 guys. Don't you still have to pick up a guy off the buyout market?
Yes.
Just to have the minimum roster.
Yeah. So like, it's an interesting trade. And I'm not, look, I mean, if you listen to this pod, you're probably pretty tired of us talking about how we can't trade people. But the availability stuff, and honestly, I hate to say what I'm about to say. I know that Bev is important to the Clippers. I know that the record is yada-da-da-da-da-da. But it seems like things can still get done at a level when Bev is not on the court, which is often.
Often that he's not on the court.
Yes. That makes me think we just kind of need bodies. And I feel bad saying that that's kind of how I feel right now.
We need available players.
We need guys who are going to be available. Look, and this isn't even a knock on Bev. It's bad luck. Like,
and no two ways around it. I mean, I love Zoo. I think for the money that you're getting, like, I, you know, Miles Turner, more expensive, but I mean, you're talking about an elite center athletically.
So it's funny because you're talking about a guy who is the best version of what Zoo could become, right?
Yes.
Shooting aside, because I don't think Zoo's ever going to shoot that much from three, but everything else is pretty. I admittedly haven't watched a lot of Pacers games. Miles Turner's kind of up there with like the best version of Zoo would be a better version of Miles Turner. You know what I mean? Like,
so the money gets a little bit difficult, right?
The money's really goofy in this.
So it's 18, 21, 22, and 18, 22, 23, which is, I mean, more than two Zoos, essentially. So, you know.
We bought a Zoo.
the money is difficult, but I do think that Miles Turner would be in a better situation on the Clippers.
But like, the money's difficult, but if you think about the money being difficult, if we somehow make it work, then we have four guys signed who were, it's Miles Turner, PG, if Kawhi resigns, it's Kawhi, Mook, and Luke Kennard, which is five dudes who is a starting five right there, kind of. It's at least a rotation you could.
And he is as young as Terrence Mann.
Yes. So this is
which, I mean, like, you know, like Zoo, you know, obviously also very young, but
yes,
it's not like it, you're got big money tied up into a guy who, you know, is older.
Or is bad. Like,
yeah,
it's interesting to keep an eye on. I don't know if it happens because part of me is like, I don't know if the Pacers take this. Zoo is the best piece of this, obviously.
For sure.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
And the 4 seconds are also a pretty big part of this.
And I mean, if you talk about availability, you're talking about a guy in Miles Turner who has never played less than 60 games in an NBA season.
And then we also got to look at McConnell.
Yeah.
Because McConnell is coming into, because like, does Reggie start if we do this trade? That's the weird thing to think about. Or does TJ McConnell start, who doesn't have familiarity with the team, you know?
He doesn't have familiarity with the team. He doesn't have the three-point shooting. You know, McConnell's like a 32% three-point shooter.
Yeah, he's not. Someone tweeted at us that theoretically, TJ McConnell would be a better shooter than Pat Bev. Based on, literally, he said, if you watch the Clippers games and you put TJ McConnell there, he'd probably shoot better. It's not based on any evidence. TJ McConnell is maybe the third guard on the Clippers rotation if he gets traded to the Clippers. He's not in front of Mann. He's not in front of Reggie, and he's maybe in front of Luke, but Luke can shoot.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right?
McConnell's like, the better passer, though, and he's a better defender than Kennard.
For sure. So he's third, though, right?
Behind Mann?
Yeah.
I don't know.
If Kennard...
I think it's I mean, like...
If Kennard, who's practiced with the team and everything, is third right now, I don't think McConnell is, like, usurping that. I don't think the new guy comes in.
Wait, where are you counting Lou in this?
I don't even count him as a point, if I'm being honest, right now when I'm thinking about it. I know I should, but...
He plays the point.
He does. All right, so I guess McConnell's lower on the hedge then. McConnell's fourth.
So
behind Lou, Mann, and Reggie, whatever combination it is.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, you're looking at McConnell more as sort of, like you said earlier, kind of a body, sort of an availability
The dorky
guy
who plays solid defense.
Yeah.
Interesting thing to monitor. A trade that I'm now, as of 7:07 p.m. on March 16th, not against all the way.
It's an interesting prospect. I don't know. It's an interesting prospect. I don't know. I got to be honest. Like, you're talking about trading.
Emotionally,
you're talking about trading a starting point guard and a starting-esque caliber center.
Starting caliber center.
For a starting caliber center, and we already do have a center that Ty likes in the starting rotation. So, like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's a little exciting to me. Do I, like, looking at it objectively, do I know that it moves the needle that much? I would say just depends on health.
It moves the needle.
It moves the needle
more than any other realistic trade idea that I've seen. Because this also feels quasi-realistic.
But that's only assuming that Pat Bev isn't available.
Which I think, I hate to say it, I think a lot of us kind of safely.
Okay, yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
And yeah, I agree. That's
the argument. I get that. But I think that, you know, if, I mean, you know, there's no promises for any health for any player in the NBA, but.
And it's been stacked against Pat Bev the last couple of years.
If you had a reasonable assumption that Pat Bev would be available, you know, this is not a needle moving trade to me. But yeah, that gets a little bit more difficult to quantify.
Yeah. Closing out with something a little more fun. Marcus Morris was on Twitter asking how long it takes to really develop an average golf game.
How long? What to you is an average golf game? Like on a par three, you're hitting two above par for each hole?
All right, so now let's take it to an actual. So like on a par, on a regular ass golf course, on a par 36.
Okay.
If you're shooting 45, if you're playing bogey golf, that's pretty damn good.
Oh, that seems really difficult. That's
you're
average?
Getting a bogey on every hole. Well, so they I don't know what average is because there's a lot of handicaps on USGA that are like 20 plus.
Gotcha.
So you're shooting like 100 something plus. Like, I think also the definition of average golf game is different for someone who is a good enough athlete to be in the NBA.
So to me, like
Carl Tart,
the layman, admittedly, to me, double bogey golf. I mean, like, I'm not saying that you're great, but like that seems pretty average.
Here's how I'm gonna put this. If you're averaging a term over par, you're good to go. Right? So like double bogey, that's bad.
I'm not saying it's good, but like, that to me feels average.
But there's a name for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like triple bogey on the line, you get to quad bogey like isn't a thing, you're four over. You know what I mean? So like when you have something that has a name attached to it,
yeah,
you're okay.
Yeah.
There's hopes you can par a couple holes maybe.
Yeah.
But if you're shooting like 136
also, that seems very difficult.
That's the regular, I mean, an 18-hole course is 72.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. I thought you were saying.
No.
I thought you were saying par 36 for an 18-hole course.
No. If you're shooting,
that seems fucking impossible.
So if you're shooting 90 on a par 72.
Okay.
You're pretty good.
Yeah, that seems good.
Like, that's like pretty good. But I think if you're a professional athlete, you have expectations about your performance.
If you're parring half the time or more, I mean, that to me seems above average.
If you're a regular dude, yeah, that's great. That's what I mean. So my one note on this is that I hope Mook does not take up golf during the regular season.
Yes.
Because it can consume you. I've been with Carl Tart on his entire golf journey. He's a left-handed golfer, much like myself.
Won't share clubs though.
It's gross. It's a frustrating game. It's very frustrating.
Well, and
I watched Carl learn, and there's been some ups and downs.
And
you know?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like people who are trying to do it good, especially beginners, are worse.
Yeah, you got to be zenned out. If I'm being, look, I advocate, look, you got to be zenned out. You can have no expectations. And Marcus Morris has already set an expectation for himself.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think he's already behind the eight ball.
Yeah, even more difficult.
I hope he doesn't. I hope he does it in the off season.
Yeah.
Also, I think it's funny that he somehow
won't have enough time. You know.
Let's hope so. I also think it's funny he wants to do this now that Doc Rivers is gone, who absolutely loves golf. Think about that. Wraps it up on Thursday's episode. We're gonna have a recap of that hopeful victory over the Mavs. Probably some Thirsty Thursday trade talk, and who knows? Maybe some Kennard talk. Maybe some Ty Lue talk. Then, of course, whatever else happens to you now and then in Clipperland, Will, where can these people tell their family that they have to listen to us?
You should listen to us on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can always tell your smart speaker to play Locked on Clippers. It works flawlessly. Hope mine doesn't turn on in the background while we're recording this, to be perfectly honest. If you haven't already, please subscribe. It really helps us out. If you're listening on iTunes or the podcast app, if you leave a rating and a review, we'll definitely read it on air. We'd love to know what you think. And yeah, as Chuck mentioned up top, we come at you, or maybe I mentioned it this episode, I can't remember, but we come at you Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific.
Heck yes. I have been Positive Chuck Bachler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.